couple things, you know. We always hope they work, right? Greetings to you. It's good to be with you again. And I'm quite encouraged that this is the 17th Experiencing God Night. Started out as simply a vision and a sense of what the Lord was doing. And in the first meeting, there was a prophecy given by myself that communicated something like this, that God was looking for a remnant of people in this land that would gather together under just one banner, and that banner would be Jesus Christ. A people that would be a remnant that would gather together and seek His face, not His hand, gather together in humility and just be absorbed by Him, experience Him, and out of that He would appoint some people who could be a remnant in the land to bring renewal, even revival, and refreshing of the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. And we still believe that that's the purpose of these meetings. And repeatedly we see that people come from a variety of kinds of churches. But I'd like to ask tonight, how many are here for first time at one of these meetings? Okay, just about 5 or 6. Usually it's 30-40%. So another change has happened. And I think it's impressive that it is happening. I'd like to just briefly communicate to you that what AMI is about is serving the church wherever we find it, whatever its title, label, or denominational structure or connection. Because we're convinced of this, that God loves His church. And He loves the whole church, no matter what its condition and no matter what its traditions may or may not be. And we want to love what God loves, right? And we hopefully can learn to love what God loves to the same depth and degree that God loves what He loves. So we're here simply to serve. We're not looking to take anything, but to give something. And the hope is that we could stir and give a renewal and a restoration of God's presence, God's influence, and particularly God's power in the people that come here, and that they would go back to their local churches carrying that and be a wonderful testimony and an instrument of giving there. We're also doing that through the intern program that we have. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in that kind of way. So we did some training with them and others today in dream interpretation. Our vision is to train them to do dream interpretation evangelism. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. In the last days, God will pour forth of His Spirit on some Christians. Is that correct? In the last days, God will pour forth of His Spirit upon all mankind. Everyone. Meaning that God, in the last days, wants to give a revelation of His Son to all of humanity. And I don't know how well you're keeping up with this, but there is evangelism taking place spontaneously in the world where people are getting saved and they're not being witnessed to or led to Christ by any human being. You can research this on the internet. There's lots of news about it, and especially in Muslim countries and in the Far East. They're having dreams wherein Jesus is revealing Himself to them and they're getting saved. Hello? Yes?
I forgot the prophetic art.
The prophetic art. Okay. Remind me in a minute and we'll come to that. Now, please let me encourage you and at the same time challenge you. If God would reveal Himself in those profound ways even to the unsaved, would He hold us out from that? He would speak to us in the last days. He would pour out His Spirit in the last days. That's his plan. Matter of fact, it's His primary plan for the last days. We come up with all kinds of strategies for evangelism, and thank God that we do, right? But I would encourage us and challenge us tonight that we need to make God's plan the primary plan of evangelism. God's plan for evangelism is to pour forth of His Spirit on everyone. And as He does that, He's going to give a revelation of His Son, and He's going to give guidance to all who get that revelation so that we might serve Him and testify of Him in profound ways. And the mediums that He selects and identifies in Acts 2:17 are dreams, visions, and prophetic gift manifestation. So it would only make common sense as we see that those are the mediums and that's the plan of God for His outpouring in the last days, that we would give significant emphasis and priority to receiving and expressing the revelation of God in those ways. Having visions, dreaming dreams, and prophesying. Could anyone say amen to that? Amen. Not all at once and so loud, please. Calm yourself. Incredible. We must not miss the fundamentals of God's plan. And Acts 2:17 is not only a plan, but it is a promise. And we'll look at a little more at that as the evening goes on from the Scripture. But Lindsay, could you come and tell us about your... We call this prophetic art. And we know, and our experience is, over a number of years now with prophetic art, that God speaks to us in pictures. And those who are artistic, they can produce the picture and therefore give us a prophetic word via that art.
Okay, we have a sword in the middle of the picture. And underneath this is what the enemy's trying to do. It's like a battlefield, but it's been smashed by God. And I just sense God is saying, would you take my word? Would you meditate on my word? And would you speak to me spirit by spirit? You cannot go into battle without my word. And if you go in with my word, I will deal with the enemy. I will break down the strongholds, and I will deal and I will fight on your behalf.
Is that good? Yeah. Now, Andrew touched on this a bit at the beginning and gave some explanation, but why do we clap? Are we applauding the artist? No. We're acknowledging that God has spoken to us and it has been encouraging. You have obviously concerts here, right? You go to those concerts. Maybe they're Christian music concerts. Maybe they're traditional, classic music concerts. And when they finish a piece, what happens? You applaud. Why do you do that? You acknowledge that what has been presented to you has encouraged you. You found it pleasurable, meaningful, impacting, right? Consider this. Jesus comes, literally. He's walking down the aisle. What would you do? Well, I can tell you that we'd all crawl under our seat is what we would do. Because He's awesome. But in the context of Him coming, would you acknowledge Him? Would you applaud Him? Hopefully we would. As the radiance of His glory would fall upon us. As the power and depth of His love would be so prominent and real to us. Now, I'm confident that that would be true of everyone in the room if he literally came. Shouldn't we be preparing for that? Am I making any sense here? Let's have some of the prophetic folks that we identified come join us here. Sometimes we get a sense that God would release us to prophesy to some individuals. And in a minute, we're going to go ahead and do that. And what we'll do is we'll just point to you or whatever. We'll ask you to stand up so others can see who you are. And we'll share some prophetic things that we have a sense of from the Lord. And I can tell by looking at you that some of you are thinking, well, don't call on me. You know, you can call on her, but not me. You know, no. Pick on my husband. He's okay with us. That's too weird for me. I came here, but I wasn't looking for that exactly. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Huh? But we've misinterpreted that verse, really. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the presence of liberty on the presence of His Spirit here. But liberty on us has to be accepted. It's an offer. Huh? Let me encourage you with this. We will not speak anything to you that would be embarrassing. The prophetic gift out of New Testament order is always to strengthen and to encourage and to build up. Never to embarrass, never to hurt. And if we knew or saw anything that was correctional for you, we would never say anything about that in public. Because that doesn't strengthen. That doesn't encourage. Do we feel better now? One other thing. And something they're doing to explain how this works. I'm giving them some time to see who God's ministering to. Because the way this works, you look around and you just have you may just have a sense of a person, and or the Holy Spirit will just indicate someone to you. And you don't necessarily have anything. Usually for me, I don't have anything for that person. I just get the indication that I'm to prophesy to that person. Does that sound scary? You want to join us? When we get over our awkwardness with the presence of Jesus Christ, His liberty is imparted to us. And we can, in faith, even in the face of risk, serve Him in that liberty. Don't have anything other than do thus and so. You know about Abraham in the Bible. God told him to go out to a land, but He didn't tell him where. Didn't give him any information. What did Abe do? He started moving. And so when you're going to function in prophetic, you do similar. And my experience is, if we do that in obedience and trust, He shows up. Sometimes I just begin with, the Lord is, and there it comes. And often and amazingly, it's powerfully impacting. How are we doing? Okay. One more thing. Do you remember when you learned to dance? Okay, some of you are looking around. Your wives are looking at you and you're looking at them. And it's looking like, well, I never did learn to dance. But do you remember when you learned to dance? Stumbling all over the place? Walking on your partner's feet? But hopefully you stayed with it. You developed a sense of rhythm in the thing and you could do it. Ah. Yes, I think I'm into this. Now, I never won a dance contest in that kind of dancing. Did win a a dance contest. There were 600 contestants, and my girlfriend and I, we won the contest, and it was, rock and roll dancing in the 60s, and it was to the song, what was it? It's been a long time ago. Oh, it was Blue Suede Shoes. Yeah. Can you imagine? And that was the preliminary one. And then the final was you see how this works? The final was the song The Twist. Anybody remember that one? Nobody's that old? Some of you remember that one. So that's the song we won the dance contest on. I'll tell you what, you have to be willing to embarrass yourself. You know what I'm talking about? If you're not willing to embarrass yourself, then you better stay out of a dance contest. It takes some humility and submission to be willing to embarrass yourself. Pride will not allow you to embarrass yourself and take any risk. That'll make sense later as I'm teaching. Okay. Bill first, okay? Yeah.
First one is the gentleman here.
Could you have him stand up so folks know who he is? Yeah.
What's your name, sorry? The word I had was faith. With that is the wrong way to measure faith. Your faith has grown, but the decision about your step into will require you to put more faith. If not, there's going to be a stretch in season where you may not know, but you're just going to have to have the faith and trust in God that you're going to activate faith and believe Him for more, that He is a big God, that He is a God of the possible, and that in this next season, your perception of Him will be stretched and He will become bigger in terms of your understanding, but to step out in faith and believe Him for more.
Is that encouraging to you? Does it seem to have some application? Very good. Let's thank God, can we? We have been friends here with Bill for a number of years. Good brother, substantial prophetic gift, been an intern with us for several years now. Bill has recently been invited to USA, Colorado, to be on staff at a church as the staff prophet. Can we thank God for that? So God has some destiny as we grow along. Yeah.
Actually, I would see the whole row of you. That God, you have God's attention, every single one of you. And I also have something for the young man in the striped shirt. And this is what I see about you.
Is that this row?
Yes, the whole row.
These young men? Okay.
Determination to begin to make choices for great good that influences vastly beyond you can begin to imagine right now in your life. But he's looking for men like you, all of you, who will set your heart in the course of your life on following him above all else. And if you do that, there's a future and a blessing of goodness and of surety and of provision and of making breakthroughs for others that at this time in your life, you're just too young to see. But the promise is there. On the other hand, he wants you to know that the conversations you have with each other really, really matter. Because in them, you're influencing each other. And when you have conversations with each other, you're setting up an environment where either he is welcome or you invite him in. and generations that have gone before you have had conversations, and it did not go the way the Lord would have wanted it to go. Mm. You're a generation where it's your turn. Mm. And it's a pivotal time in the history of the world, and you're a marked generation. So you're much more important than you know, and less important than you think. Make the right choices. Every one of you has the potential to be a man that others look to change things. And God's saying, take me seriously, and then I'll take you seriously.
Is that okay for you, gentlemen? I would add a little bit to that, that you're a little apprehensive about the spiritual journey that is being communicated to you. But the Lord wants to reassure you tonight that you'll be okay, you'll be safe. You just trust Him in the growth of knowing Him experientially and having the Holy Spirit come and begin to reveal the person Jesus Christ to you. You'll be safe enough. Is that all right? Okay.
The young man in the middle of the back row, but one just in front of Mark there, if you just touch on there. The Lord is showing me that you are a man who is growing up to be a man of significance if you will accept His invitation. And His invitation is that you stay close to Him, and you stay in the presence of Him, and you don't actually have to do anything more than that. But the drive and the attraction of the world will be very strong, and your job is to stay close to Him. And as you do that, you will find yourself moving from the back and be invited up. There's a story in the Bible about somebody who sits in a feast at the bottom table, and then the person who holds the feast invites them to come and sit in a place of honor. Mm-hmm. You, if you stay close to the Lord, go on the journey, be safe, be close. He will promote you, grow you to be a man of influence, to be a man of leadership, and to be a man who can affect an entire generation of people the same age as yourself and the generations to come. This, if you accept the invitation, will grow and develop into a very significant and profound call. And why He's picking you out tonight is to put that flag up and that place to aim, and then just trust Him and sit back and let Him take you on the journey. Let the Holy Spirit come and show you what you need to work at and what you need to develop. But stay close, stay patient, and you will find yourself in a place of significant leadership in the future.
Is that okay?
Can I add to that? Sorry, you're like a yo-yo. The Lord's planted a nightly nobility in your heart, and the invitation of the enemy is to fall asleep to that. So stay awake, because He has plans for you. So the enemy would just have you sweep along in the reverse just to what everybody else is doing, but stay awake and stay responsive to that nightly nobility that He's put in your heart, because the destination and the missions that He'll send you on will be glorious and spectacular, and feed that whole desire for adventure that's in your heart as well. And what looks mundane on the offset might be the most spectacular, colourful, exciting adventure that you would ever know.
Amen. Is that okay?
And the gentleman with the navy jumper. Yeah, could you stand? Sorry.
I can add to that one too.
You know him? Oh,
right, the guy, the first guy that got stood up actually has something for him.
Okay.
Two things. Firstly, I think the Lord has given you something that people are attracted to, and when people are around you, they're drawn to you, and that's something that He has given you. And the second thing is that He's given you an adventurous spirit, and a spirit to desire adventure and to go on that journey. And His invitation to you is to follow that desire, because His Spirit's on you, and He's calling you on this whole new journey of discovery with Him. And it's going to involve taking some risks. It's going to involve doing things that you're maybe not comfortable with. But if you're willing to follow His call in your life, if you're willing to submit to what He's doing in you, rather than submitting to the fears about what may go wrong, He has a grand destination for you, and He would use you for real significance and bring transformation to other people's lives. Okay.
Is that all right? Thank you. I see the Spirit of the Lord on the two of you, and what the Lord's revealing to me is you're not sure how you got here or why you're here, but you know that there's a hunger in you, and you're uncommon both in your natural families and even with friends and people that you're close to. And that uncommonness for the two of you is your interest in the person Jesus and the things of the Lord. But at the same time, there are the things of the world that are often calling to you. But so far, you just keep making the right choice to yield to that small voice, that sensitive voice of the Holy Spirit calling you. And the Lord shows me also about you. You've had some significant challenges in your life from the time you were a little girl. There were some family issues that were painful and potentially destructive, but you avoided them. And the Lord wants you to know tonight, honey, that you avoided them because of His sovereign hand and touch on you. But also you avoided those destructions that befell some others close to you. And the reason for that is you chose God's offer, and you still are. And for the both of you, be encouraged tonight. You keep coming. You have a glorious future. And you'll miss the things that most beautiful young women like yourself do not miss. All the tragedies and mistakes of the world. So God's blessing to you. Is that okay? You're welcome. Thank you.
The Lord just wants to say to you tonight, when you get to the stand of the pulpit, and say, it's you. If there was nobody else in the world, it's you. He's seen what you've been through, and his heart breaks. But he's cried. You can imagine that God will cry tears for you. He's cried tears for you. He wants you to know that He has been with you every step of the way, that He has plans and He has purposes for your life. And He is a good and faithful God. And He is a Father of good gifts, and good gifts will come your way. And His instruction to you tonight is that He probably wants to get you to stand up so He can say from all these people that it's you. He loves you with all His heart. And He seeks a life for you that is good. So stay close to Him. His grace, and His favor, and His love, and His mercy, minister into your situation, minister into your disappointment, and the things that you felt that you took in your hand, and let Him show you that with Him all things are possible. Is that encouraging?
Amen.
The first guy that picked up this stuff. The Lord actually directed me to you at the beginning of the night, whenever you came in. And the sense that I had was with your guy, I was curious and
behind Morris, there's a whole row of women there that I see something with. You see that?
To go after him in the new season, and he wants you to think big. He wants you to really get to know him in a new way, and it's just to see him with
a row of women behind Morris. I see something. I was checking out
for the kings, search out. There's a sense where he has treasures for you to really dig deep and get to know him in a new way. And these treasures are revelations. They're new ways of seeing him and being in a relationship with him. So just go on the journey and see him.
Kathy, I think.
You're not going to like this, but this little girl in the booth in the gray scarf. The Lord says to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because I do all things well. And though you have to wait for a while, and it seems that he is hidden, he is not hidden. He is waiting. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's going to take care of her. He's going to fight for you. And establish you. So what I want you to do, if you can't go anywhere else, you come here. And you spend every moment that you can with him. Open his word, it's powerful. And you need to feed your heart, you need to feed your mind, you need to hope in here. The enemy wants to take your hope from you. And the Lord says, that is not me, that is not my thing. I am here to tell you, don't be afraid. I have a path, and I have a way. I have lived your life, darling, and I can tell you, when the Lord comes, you are delivered, and he will keep you, and he will give you a life, and he will make you, there will be no shame, and you will deliver others, because you have been delivered. Don't be afraid.
Let's pray for her, shall we? Couple, are these your friends?
Sister-in-law.
Right. Just put your hands on her, would you? Yeah. Give me your hand, dear. You agree with me. Lord, we pray for this young woman. We ask that those experiences and those things in her life and current events that are attempting to rob her of her hope in you, we ask that you would, through this word tonight, establish a sense of security in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that she would receive encouragement from this word, this prayer, and our agreement with her, that would begin to free her mind of the contemplation of her yesterdays, and that she'd find herself in this moment today in your presence, and that you would begin to reveal to her that she has a future for her tomorrows. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would confirm this to her. We pray your very best for her. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We could continue, but I think it's time for us to do some other things. How many of you would say, wow, what I saw and what I heard and the influence of it seemed significantly helpful to the people that it came to? How many would that be? Very nice. I have seen extraordinary things happen to people when you have a prophetic word for them. And one other thing for those who got prophesied to. In Matthew 10:41, it says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet gets a prophet's reward. So if we spoke to you and it resonated, you were encouraged, you have a sense that it's God, please embrace it. Embrace it. You hang on to that. And in the receptivity of those prophetic words that were given to you, you'll be rewarded. I know about this. I was ministered to in this way many years ago. powerfully impacted, life-changing. But I did know and understand about receiving a prophetic word and embracing it and holding on to it. That's really, really important. So I encourage you for that. If you have a Bible with you, you could open to Luke chapter 11. I want to speak to you tonight about responding to the Holy Spirit's presence. Look, since the coming and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been present and active in the world ever since. He has not diminished His interest nor His activity. And one of the mistakes and misunderstandings by many Christians, we want revival, we want renewal in our own lives and in the life of the church, right? We want to be powerful Christians, full of the love of God, the power and the energy of the kingdom of God. We want our churches to be alive with His power and with His presence. And so we pray for revival. We pray for renewal. And we pray things like, well, if it be Your will, cause and release Your Holy Spirit to come and revive us and renew us. Oh, it's His will. Jesus is coming for a church that is empowered, a church that is without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, right? So it's not a question that God is disinterested in bringing renewal and revival to we Christians and to the church. He is interested, and the Holy Spirit will not change His interest and determination. He's here. He's ready. What we need to be praying is about our response to Him, our openness to Him when He does come. You know, if we as Christians could learn to be tremendously sensitive to the Spirit. You're aware that the Holy Spirit's very sensitive, right? Earlier I talked about the awkwardness in learning to dance. Well, I've ministered in 50 countries, been in thousands of meetings, and where I've saw the greatest impact of the Holy Spirit has been where the people have been, one, most hungry, and two, most liberated in their sensitivity and in their response to His presence. And when those features and dynamics are there, then it is incredible. Healings, miracle stuff, people saved, empowered by the Spirit, manifestation of spiritual gifts in people that had little training or knowledge of those things. So our ability to respond, our ability to connect and to receive. Luke chapter 11 and beginning in verse 9. I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So our part is the asking and the seeking and the knocking. But the thing is, have you ever sought or tried to obtain something that for some reason you didn't really want? We don't do that very often. But have you ever done that? I have. And my experience is that usually I don't get it. If I don't really want it, I can go through the motions and through the activity, but it doesn't happen. And the reason for it is that my heart wasn't with my words. And my ability to respond to what it was that I was asking for was greatly limited and hindered. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. And so again, he's rather repeating what he has already said, but attempting to encourage us that, look, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. If we'll take the initiative coupled with a heart that is open, receptive, ready to respond, even though we may not fully understand. And if you've been around God for a while, you know that what you ask Him for, when he does deliver it, it might not be wrapped in the package that you expected. How many have had that? And here's something I've learned. Don't stumble over the package. What's important about receiving a gift? Is it the wrapping? Presentation's nice, right? I like presentation. But what I'm really interested in is the contents in that gift. And many of us Christians have decided that what we're asking for has to be delivered in a particular package, and we decide whether we would respond and accept that and embrace it if it's delivered in the package that we demand that it be delivered in. And God's not dictated to in that way. Mm-mm. When I was a boy, and this isn't a horrible remembering experience for me, so don't feel sorry for me. It turned out a grand experience. But it was Christmas. I think it was about 7 years old. And my mother said that I had been particularly bad. And it was true. And so I was all happy and excited about Christmas and what I was going to get for Christmas. And I kept bringing that up to my mother. And she said, "You've been bad. And you hadn't gotten better. And so I cannot reward you with great Christmas presents because you've been a bad boy." Now, I knew my mother loved me. And she wouldn't be able to not give me something. Well, Christmas morning came. I get up. I'm all excited for my Christmas gifts. There was nothing. And she let that go. A couple of hours. It was near time for dinner. And I'm thinking, she can't do that. I know she loves me. I was looking for the package. Didn't come. Dinner came. We had dinner and I pouted the whole time. She said, "Well, see, you didn't get a Christmas present because, see, you're still pouting." I keep thinking, I know you love me even though I've been a bad boy. I was looking for the love manifest in a particular kind of wrapping and delivery of a Christmas gift. And it didn't come. Dinner ends. I can't believe it. You wouldn't really do that to me. Another hour passes. One of my aunts, my mother was from a family of 12. She had 6 sisters. One of them, I was my aunt's pride and joy. And she knew that my mother was not going to give me a Christmas present. So they had a little dialogue and exchange. And my aunt was willing for my mother to try to teach me the lesson, but she was not willing for it to go the whole distance. And my mother didn't want it to go the whole distance either. But she did not want to interrupt teaching me the lesson by her giving me the gift. So my aunt comes. She says, "Well, you've been a bad boy. You didn't get a Christmas present, did you?" At that moment, I just had this breaking, you know. I begin to cry. I grab my aunt. She just hugged me and loved me. And she said, "Your mother loves you. Come out here." We had this space between our house and the garage. It was called the breezeway. And out there was the cutest little dog you ever seen. This black and brown dog, and it had a big red ribbon around it. And she said, "The dog's name's Buttons, and that's your dog. Bad boy or not, this family manifests love always. I never forgot that. I had that dog for 12 years. It was a member of the family. You see, we dare not make the mistake of missing God for the package and the wrapping. If we're asking Him, please be assured that He will respond. He will. He wants to. Don't resist Him or shut Him out for how the package comes. You see, some of you are here tonight with some trepidation. Hell, I don't know about that prophesying thing. And you know, it's an experiencing God thing. And I'm curious. And I'm going to go see. And I'm going to go look. And maybe I'll present myself, but no one better do anything to me. We can't do anything to you. We wouldn't. Here, nobody will shake you, push you, or manipulate you in any way. But you will experience God if you're willing not to hold Him back in your response because of how He may come and what He may do in His coming to you. Is this making sense? He loves you. We're seeking Him. We're having expectation of Him. Back to Luke chapter 11. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be open. Verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He would not give him a snake instead of a fish, would he? You're here tonight. Maybe you have never had what we call a God encounter experience where the Holy Spirit comes and you have a reality experience of Him. We sometimes stumble over that and misunderstand because our world and the reality of our world is only made up of the materialistic. But God's not made of material. God is a spirit, right? He comes. We encounter Him. It can be profound. It can be life-changing, provided that we are trusting and believing, and therefore we have become responsive and receptive because we know that God loves us and He wouldn't give us a bad gift. Are you with me? Like I found out with my mother, she couldn't really withhold it. I was correct about that. But she taught me a lesson. You need to respond to me. When I tell you you're bad, you need to say, yes, Mom, and change your behavior. That was proven to me. I got over that hurdle right there. But not just because she restrained the giving. It was because she was creative in the giving, along with holding me accountable for my repentance. God is the same. He holds us accountable for our repentance, but He does not hold Himself at a distance from us. Are you with me? That's the nature of God. That's the love of God. That is how we can trust God in a response that needs not to have any fear in it. Verse 12. Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Look. We all need to encounter God. And not just once, repeatedly, right? It is John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. We see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit promised in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. We see the fulfillment of that promise in Acts chapter 2 on the 120 in the upper room. I have already quoted Acts 2:17 to you that it says in the last days God would be pouring forth of His Spirit upon all mankind. Then later on in Acts, I believe it's 2:39, Peter says, this promise is for you and your children and all those who are afar off. That includes our generation now. That includes us right now and right here. Could anybody say amen? I'm Baptist. I'm into that amen thing. I was Baptist. I like Baptists. Any Baptists here? God bless you. God's a good God, gives good gifts. And the receiving of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the continual encountering God is the gift of God for us. There's nothing to fear. If you then, being evil, he's contrasting himself to humanity, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now let's stop there for a moment. No one gives bad gifts to their children, right? I've been real bad. My mother couldn't withhold from me. No one gives bad gifts to the children. I have 3 children grown, married, 7 grandchildren, and first great-grandchild in the oven, so to speak. That's in America, we use that term. It doesn't mean crude. I hope it doesn't mean crude here. It means the baby's getting ready to come forth. I'm excited about that. My 2 youngest grandchildren, Saxton, he's 3, and Huxley, he's 18 months. And we call him Huck. He can get up and he can teeter a bit if he's hanging on to something. You know, he can do this. But he hasn't gotten brave enough just yet to let go. But I can see that he's thinking about it. And my hope is he doesn't do it until I get home. I want to be there to see him let go. He's the cutest little rascal. He looks just like me. Not so cute. No, he really is. And it's so exciting to see that happening. Take those first steps. The only thing about it, my wife loves these boys. I mean, she gets over there at least every day, sometimes twice a day. I try to make it every day, every other day. We just want to see them. If we can just walk in there and just get a glance of them. Do you know that that's how God feels about you? And he's watching, he's looking, he's wanting you to trust him and to let go of your personal support and your independence from him and go ahead and go for it, so to speak, in receiving what it is that he wants to give you. And I'm so excited about that little boy taking those steps. Your son's name is
Isaac.
We had Isaac over to the house the other day, and he's how old?
Just 13 months.
13 months, and I don't know if you know it, but he's walking. But I said, "This kid's walking. That's incredible." But he looks like an 80-year-old man with arthritis. But he goes right along. And if you got a cookie or some bait, he can go a long way. Are you with me? God's got some bait. It's himself. Poured out on we believers in the person of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know him, not in an idea, but personally, powerfully, and in and by the Spirit. And, you know, this place of Scripture has been taught many kinds of ways. Usually, it's used in the context of prayer. And in a moment, I'm going to attempt to change that. The context for this place of Scripture is not for prayer. Some of you are looking at me like, well, we're really suspect of you now. You got theological problems, Dr. Bournes. I don't think so. If you read it in the context that it's there to its conclusion, you notice the red print stops at verse 13. Do you notice that? This is Jesus speaking. So he's given all these directions about asking and knocking and seeking and trusting and looking for something in all that asking and knocking and seeking. Verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The context of this seeking and asking and knocking and trusting is the context of the seeking and the asking and the knocking of the Holy Spirit. That's the theological context of that scripture and that text. It's not predominantly about how to pray, being persistent in prayer. That truth is there, but it's not the theological context. The theological context is how and why we seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is the great gift of God after the ascension of the person Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That's the great gift of God, the Holy Spirit. And so the priority here in the context of this scripture is the asking and the seeking and the knocking of the Spirit, because that's the great gift of God. That was like the little puppy buttons with a red ribbon on it for me. Bam! There it is. This is the fulfillment. It's not what you thought it was, and it is not withheld because you didn't understand or you were a bad boy. It is the love of God that triumphs over sin. Amen? The great gift of God is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The great gift of God. And what's so wonderful is this gift of God is poured out and poured out from the ascension of Christ, the outpouring at Pentecost, until the second advent, until the return of Jesus Christ. The Spirit is promised to be poured out and poured out and poured out. Now, what does this mean for us tonight? I believe that it should mean that as a priority for our lives, and as a believing, trusting Christian in the goodness of God, we're going to ask, seek, and knock, right? And I hope that I may have convinced or persuaded you tonight that what we ought to be asking, seeking, and knocking for is the great gift of God in the Holy Spirit. And then we could say, well, what's the benefit? Oh, it's a glorious benefit. I've already quoted John 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. It is in the plan of God that the Spirit would be poured out so that the believer would receive life in and by the Spirit, so that we could be like Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that we would be powerful witnesses in the earth and a testimony of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Hello. And then what we see as a representation of that in the early church, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them at Pentecost, the 120 in the upper room. And after that happened, they all just sat around. They built their great traditions and had beautiful woodwork and altars and candles. And they hung there very quietly waiting for something they knew not what. Is that true? No, it's not. That encounter empowered them. motivated them with the love of God. They went out from there being witnesses in the earth. And if we read the next couple of chapters of the book of Acts, incredible things took place. And Jesus said that the Spirit came to empower them to be witnesses, giving a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And as we go through the New Testament, we see that that remained, that it was true, and there was an ongoing manifestation of the Spirit through the believers with signs and wonders authenticating the fact that they had received the Spirit, they had received the power, and that they had received the great gift of God in that being the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense? Is there some continuity to this? And so we also see and understand that it was not a one-time experience, but a repeated experience of encountering, being filled with the Spirit, and then going out demonstrating the love and the power of God. And they were as well able to live a holy and righteous life because it is the Spirit that gives us the power to do so. Where can we conclude? And what can we conclude tonight? This. That normal Christianity is what we see in the New Testament. And that that normal Christianity of signs and wonders and the people being filled with awe and amazement and bewilderment at the presence and the power of the Spirit being poured out was common to them. It was common. Not meaning it was common in that they didn't think much of it. They were awed by it. Signs and wonders. Prevalence in the power of God remained. It was normal for them to live in that kind of way. I suggest to you that we dare not decide that normal Christianity is devoid of those things. Now, I do not mean that we should condemn one another or our churches if that's not present. Let's just adjust our view about the great gift of God. And let's ask, seek, and knock. And let's be responders. My journey reveals this, that I had to learn to respond. I remember the first time that I was in a meeting where there was an invitation to experience and encounter God. How many remember that for yourself? How did you feel? I felt like this. I want to, but I won't. I want to, but no. And then when I finally got there, you know what I was thinking and praying? What do you think I was thinking and praying? I was thinking and praying, oh God, don't let anybody come near me. I don't want those people to lay hands on me. I'm being transparent with you. I waited a little while and then you know what I did? I got out of there. That went on for a while. But I knew that He was coming and I knew that He was there and I even saw that there was integrity in the whole thing. There wasn't any theatrics, there wasn't any manipulation. It was obvious. My problem was, I didn't think I was worthy. And I didn't want to go and really present myself to respond and receive, believing that nothing would happen, because then I would feel more unworthy and more greatly disappointed. I don't know if you can identify with that. But I was so hungry. I so wanted the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the life that I could see was giving. I saw people praying for others and they were getting healed. I was thinking, oh, I want to do that. I saw people prophesying to folks like we did tonight. Oh, I want to do that, man. I want to get in on that. Then I'd hunger kept building. And as well, I began to get convinced I could trust him. And in finality, I figured this out. This is powerful. It's not about me. And I saw this in that story I told you about my mother and the Christmas gift. It was never about me. And it was never about my error and my being a bad boy. Get this. It was only ever about my mother's love for me. It never really needed to be doubted. That was proven in the end. And this invitation of God for us to receive the Holy Spirit and to encounter God personally, the same thing is true. Once I figured that out, there came a day when I presented myself and I decided I'm going to trust Him. I believe He loves me. I'm afraid. I don't know what this is going to yield. I presented myself and I decided I'm going to receive. I'm not going to resist. I got prayed for. Holy Spirit came. Powerfully. I ended up on the floor for 3 hours. I had whiskers then too. When I finished, all of the whiskers on my chin were gone. And so was the skin. My head was beating on some steps, and my wife would grab hold of my feet and drag me back. Now, you won't necessarily have that experience, but it would be good if you did. Oh, I don't want that. That's too radical for me. God will give you what you need. I needed that. You probably don't. You hadn't been a bad boy. He'll only give you a good gift. And then when you learn to just keep coming, the gift increases and increases and increases. I pray for the sick and they get healed. I cast out demons, prophesy to presidents and queens of nations. And I was a bad boy at Christmas. Do you get this? It isn't about you. It's only ever been about the Father's loving promise to you. It's only about that. So there's nothing to fear. Could we have the worship team come? You've been sitting a long time, listening. I would invite you to stand. I'd like to pray and offer an invitation. Could we get rid of these first couple rows of chairs here? I also find that in responding to God's invitation, He's looking for some movement on our part. First, in our minds, then in our hearts. And it helps to have some movement with the body as well. If we'll come and we'll present ourselves, He will respond to that presentation. Maybe you're here tonight and you've encountered God many times. But I suggest to you that more. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We need more of the Spirit to live this Christian life empowered and to be testimonies of Jesus Christ in a variety of ways. If you're here tonight and you have never had a personal encounter in a filling of the Spirit, this is a safe place. I would encourage you to respond as well. Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name, we thank You for Your good plan. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your obedience to the Father and the Son. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You pour Yourself out to those who would respond and to present themselves. We ask, as we present ourselves tonight, as we give You an appropriate response, that you would come, that you would touch our lives, you would fill us, maybe for the first time, maybe for another time, fill us powerfully and wonderfully with the presence of God. Holy Spirit, come now. We invite you here. Come, would you? Come now. Please come. We're asking. We're seeking. We're knocking. Come, Lord. Come. Arrest the fears and the concerns of the people. Reveal to them the Father's love. And release upon them the invitation of this great gift. I invite you tonight, if you want to experience and encounter God by His Holy Spirit, please come up front here, join me. We're going to worship for a time because we want to personally and corporately here invite Him. If you want to receive, please come join me. Thank you, Lord.